right, Thursday night and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good as always. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Sorry about the gravelly throat. I am better every day, but still not 100%. But we're pushing through anyway. But anyway, I love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you being here. Let me pop over to the pop-out chat so I can see everybody. Let me say it to everybody. Horror Hotel is on. Adam Lombard is on. Axel 1978 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Tony Nuthead, like that one, is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Clean Sanchez is on. JT1 is on. Hassle-Free TV is on. Robin Aroni is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. D9597 is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Just Fact is on. Gritterdom is on. Let me see here. Just Fact is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Dave Souders is on. Motown JBH is on. Green Rose Patriot is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Mickey 44 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Todd Stuff is on. Golf Master 1 is on. Let me see here. Snag Dog is on. Salty Gonads is on. Veronica 18201 is on. JBC 2020 is on. Sexy Pony is on. Those Jesus people are on. Let's see here. Rafa 9821 is on. Let's see who I missed here. Lisa Kinzer is on. JD Wool is on. Shaylin 04 is on. Scrolling down. Sheila K is on. Scrolling down. John Phillips is on. If I miss you, it's not on purpose, just so you know. Big Jim Go Blue is on. TTTUS is on. DK Jackson 1203 is on. Let's see here. Scrolling down. Snarl Barkley is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Let me see. Milwaukee James is on. Sergeant Nick is on. Anybody else I missed here? Producer Aaron is on. There we go. Thank goodness, because the show wouldn't be on if Aaron wasn't here. But anyway, I couldn't even turn this. I wouldn't even know how to turn the lights on. They're illuminating, or this microphone. I have absolutely no clue. I have no idea. I mean, I think I can figure out how to turn the overhead lights on in this room.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a switch on the wall. That's all I got. All right. So into this tariff thing, a whole lot of fun. For me, it's a whole lot of fun. I know it's going to work. Maybe some short-term pain. I don't even know about that, just so you know. And I'll show you why, but I don't even know if there's going to be a short-term pain. Trump is warning about it, but I honestly don't know if that's really going to happen. I really don't. And again, I'll show you why in just a second. So let's look at this root of this now. And I want to just, you're like, Tom, you're really just, you put the first one up for me, Will. So, I mean, it's kind of, you're like, you're really attacking Rand Paul. I thought you liked him. I do like him. That's the nature of discourse. You know, Aaron and I are very, very close friends. Aren't we, Aaron?
Yeah.
Very close friends. Do you agree with everything I say?
No.
There you go. Okay, I don't agree with everything you said.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we can discuss it and we move on.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just the way it is. And we maintenance our friendship. Now, we have a lot in common.
Oh, yeah.
But there are things we don't agree on. So, I mean, that's just the way that it is. So, I mean, this is one of them. And Rand Paul's not the only one. There are many people on the right who don't agree with this tariff thing, which I'm just going to be honest with you, makes absolutely no freaking sense to me at all. I mean, you're like, Tom, I thought you were going to be kind of, I'm never, ever ambiguous, folks. I take sides. And I will never understand why people don't understand the word reciprocal.
Right.
I mean, it's literally like somebody comes over, kicks you in the nuts, and you punch them in the face, and they're upset about you punching them in the face.
Right.
Why did you punch me in the face? Do you know that your foot just connected with my nuts? And that's we don't understand these. Ursula von der Leyen, she's out. We don't understand these tariffs. Why would you not understand the tariffs that you yourself have already imposed? You're the nut kicker.
Yep.
Why do you not understand the word reciprocal? These are allegedly highly educated, Harvard people, whether it's Harvard here or Harvard somewhere else. How do you not understand the word reciprocal? Because in order for it to be reciprocal, get this, Aaron, this is deep.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be reciprocal. There has to be something already in place.
Right.
So that's what the only thing that's happening. And by the way, Trump, if there's a 90% tariff on our goods, he's putting our tariff at 45. They're not even 100% reciprocal in all areas. Some of them are, but a lot of them are only half the standing tariff. And here comes Rand Paul. Notice how Rand Paul, who I think is very worried about Kentucky bourbon going into Canada because that's one of the big things that Canadians threatened us with. We're gonna stop drinking Kentucky bourbon. We're gonna stop buying it. I could care less. I hate alcohol, so I hope it all burns. But anyway, I'm just saying, I think that's what he's got some sort of lobby I don't even want to say he's getting paid off. He's got some sort of lobby, because I don't know any of that. And I don't want to make false assertions, but he's got. I guess the way to put it would be there's some sort of influence that he feels like he needs to put out a tweet like this. And I'm going to show you what I mean. Tariffs don't punish foreign governments; they punish American families. Outline that for me. I love these grand generalities. Outline that for me. Say that prices will go up. Trump put on. We're always talking about percentages here. Where do we get most of our goods from? I mean, if you're talking about on a percentage basis, we only get 1-2% from Canada of our imports, less than 1% from Mexico. Who do we import the most from? Aaron can give me the Trump voice. China.
China.
There it is. That's who. Now, Rand Paul had no problem with us tariffing China, nor did anybody else. As a matter of fact, Trump tariffed China in his first term, and then Biden left them on as if they were doing what's called good.
Yeah.
And do you realize that prior to 1913, there was no income tax? At the same time they created an income tax, they created the FBI. I'm just saying there must have been a wave of stupidity.
And the Fed.
Not saying they're connected. Oh, yeah. Was that the Fed,
yeah,
too?
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, why? There was no income tax. There was simply a external revenue service. We received all that we needed from tariffs. Wouldn't everybody like to have no income tax? Listen, I'm fine with people taxing goods and sales tax, all that, fine. But wouldn't it be great not to, all of us are still in this, that are in this room right now, there's three of us, there's Will, there's Aaron and myself. Wouldn't it be nice to not see, depending on what your income bracket is, 20 to 40% of your check disappearing into the wind to go pay for NGOs that fully staff Democrats and hire other Democrats and give Democratic Party campaigns? Wouldn't it be nice to not have an income tax? But tariffs don't punish foreign governments. When we tax imports, we raise the price of everything from groceries to smartphones to washing machines to prescription drugs. Okay, then what's your solution? Because he leaves out half of the argument here. Okay, when we tax imports, what about our exports being tariffed? How do you just leave that off, Rand? Again, I have a lot of respect for you, but I'm like, how do you just leave that off? When we tax imports, what about them taxing our imports? How do you just leave that off? There has to be somebody nefarious behind the scenes who's jerking your chain because you're leaving half the argument off your tweet.
Yeah.
You're not even mentioning the very fact that our imports are taxed every day. And by the way, that costs us money too. Because did everybody ever get big picture? I mean, again, this is why we're $36 trillion in debt. This is why we're $36 trillion. I don't care that Rand Paul comes out and he does his spiel every year about the most ridiculous governmental expenditures. Man, I haven't done a thing about it. So here's the thing. If a United States company, whatever it may be, is getting tariffed, who are they going to pass along? Tariffed by a foreign government, Rand. Then who do they pass along those tariffs to? You and I make that up and their price is here. Mm-hmm. I mean, where's half the argument here? Go to the next one for me, Will. So here's just the chart so everybody can see it. Just screenshot it. I'm obviously not going to read them all. And you can look at the various. Some of these are 100% reciprocal. You can look at China, 67% in, right there, top left, 67% tariff on our imports into China. And Trump's responding with a 34. European Union, 39%. And they're crying about us reciprocating at 20%. And you can just screenshot this so that you see some of them. Philippines, 34 to 17. Laos, 95 to 48%. El Salvador, 10 and 10. Saudi Arabia, 10 and 10. Egypt, 10 and 10. Serbia, 74%. And a lot of the idiots on the left are saying, what about the most, the poorest countries, the countries that are most in need? Let's look at it. Madagascar actually taxes us at 93%, and we're only matching. We're coming back at 47. I mean, again, it's just absolutely ridiculous. This argument is absolutely ridiculous. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, Gunther Eagleman video. So everyone was so concerned about, though. You know, I mean, I know Joy Reid believes that we had a war with Canada in 1812. Imagine that. She said, I forgot who the person that was interviewing her was.
Don Lemon.
Oh, Don Lemon, and he sits there and nods at her.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, war against. Okay. That would be like me saying, you know what, man, in that Revolutionary War when we took on the Chinese, And the interview is going,
yeah.
Okay, we didn't fight the Canadians. Here's a little startling fact for everybody. There were no Canadians. There was British. That was it. And that's obviously we fought in World War II. But everyone was so concerned. Remember, she said that if we fought the Canadians, and Aaron and I, and I don't know if it was Will or one of our other associate producers were in here, but Aaron and I played a video of the Canadian Army.
Yeah.
Okay, they're a bunch of trans-loving, sewed-on penises, inverted vagina morons. That's what they are, run by Justin Trudeau. Justin Trudeau has been the Prime Minister of Canada over the last 10 years, and they honestly think they're going to, listen, as dilapidated as our military is, they would throttle Canada in a day they were actually let off the chain. If you're going to worry about blowing up mosques and all that crap, that's why we end up in these wars for forever. Let's look at the courage of the Canadians, because there's a lot of big talk coming out. Because here's the new Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, and he said a minute. I mean, you'll hear the reporter ask him. You said that our relationship with America is over. Play for me, Will.
You said previously that the relationship that Canada had with the United States is now over. Is the U.S. still our ally?
The U.S. Absolutely. Look, the U.S. is absolutely our ally. It's our ally in security and defense partnerships. It's our most important security ally, for example. It's still, even with these tariffs, the largest trading.
Where's the big talk? Where's the big talk? I mean, you said our relationship was over. Let's go to the next one. Gunther Eagleman video. Amazing. Here comes Dougie Ford. Watch his reversal. Play for me.
Is that still the position, that the relationship is over, or is there some movement?
Well, I think there's always movement when you sit down and negotiate. It's no different than a big family sits around the table. They may disagree on a few items, but at the end of the day, they still come out united. And that's the way we feel with our greatest friends and allies. Make no mistake about it. Canadians love Americans. They love the U.S. And I do, too. I spent 20 years of my life there.
You know, Mr. Premier, it strikes me because the last time we talked, you were talking about threatening electricity. Right. And there was a very loud, a very forceful, a very a defensive position that you put up when we spoke a couple weeks ago. It's a different tone that I'm hearing from you tonight. And I wonder if that's because you think this is all just going to go by the wayside and it gets figured out. I guess what I'm getting at, sir, is it's a lot different tone from you now than a couple weeks ago. Why?
Well, fair enough, because we didn't know what was happening. We just kept hearing the 51st state, we're going to be tariffed. And now the tone has changed on both sides. And again, that goes back to negotiating and in good faith, building a relationship that I feel secretary.
The tone hasn't changed on both sides at all. Their tone has changed. Has Trump stopped calling? He's calling Mark Carney the new governor of the state of Canada.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. Aaron, what was it that Doug Ford said a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, he said he wanted to inflict as much pain as possible on the American people.
Oh, where you at, Dougie? Someone clip your nuts? What happened to you? What happened to you, Dougie? I'm just surprised. You're such a manly man, allegedly, and you're threatening to inflict as much pain on America as you possibly can by cutting off Americans' electricity. What happened? Well, did you actually discover that about 1.7% of our GDP relies on trade with Canada and that we don't give a crap whether we have your, we don't care if we have your wood, we don't care if we have your dairy. I can live perfectly fine without Fairlife milk. Perfectly fine. No problem at all. I'll go back to my other favorite chocolate milk. You know, so I don't care. This Fairlife has like half the sugar, so I don't need to get any fatter than I already am. But I'm just saying, we don't need your goods. We basically... You're like a little kid that you give an allowance to who really doesn't do any work. That's really what you are. You know, you give your 4-year-old an allowance every week because they keep their room clean, even though you're the one cleaning the room. That's really what Canada is. Now, listen, Canada could be much more than they are, but they are just like the European Union, who has never taken care of themselves and completely and totally rely on the United States. It's really just like that, scene, Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men. You know, where I don't know the exact quote, but I mean, we give you shelter, we give you protection, then you question us. You question the shelter that we provide. Go to the next one for me. So here's the EU. Libs of TikTok. The EU is preparing significant action against X. Oh, well, you know, it's the day on the bottom. It's from today. Including a potential fine of $1 billion for disinformation. This is how they're responding to our tariffs, which, by the way, they were doing long before the tariff talk even began. This is direct attack against free speech. Go to the next one for me. Alex Jones video. Watch the unelected EU dictator publicly confesses that Trump's tariffs have devastated their NWO system. Play for me.
President Trump's announcement of universal tariffs on the whole world, including the European Union, is a major blow to the world economy. I deeply regret this choice. Let's be clear-eyed about the immense consequences. The global economy will massively suffer. Uncertainty will spiral and trigger the rise of further protectionism. The consequences will be dire for millions of people around the globe, also for the most vulnerable countries, which are now subject to some of the highest U.S. tariffs, the opposite of what we wanted to achieve. The tariffs will also hurt consumers around the world. It will be felt immediately. The costs of doing business with the United States will drastically increase. And what is more, there seems to be no order in the disorder. At the same time, we are prepared to respond. We are already finalizing the first package of countermeasures in response to tariffs on steel. And we're now preparing for further countermeasures to protect our interests. I know that many of you feel let down by our oldest ally.
You're not allies. You're suing thousands of U.S. companies trying to shut them down. You're censoring America. You're spending billions on record paying for disinformation and propaganda. You're tyranny. You're tyrants.
Hey, Will, if you could find that chart for me one more time so I have the numbers, that chart with all the tariffs, the reciprocal tariff chart, the two-sided chart, because there it is, just so everybody can see it. European Union's top left. So they've been tariffing us at 39%, and she's whining and complaining that we're going to do a, what's it called again? Reciprocal tariff. So in order for it to be reciprocal, you have to already be tariffing us. So you're complaining that we are going to answer your 40% tariff with a 20% tariff. And that this is disorderly, is going to cause mass disruptions. How about you drop your 39% tariff and actually believe in the democracies that you all allegedly are purveyors of, that none of them actually are, as they go out and ban speech, ban guns, force vaccines, force experimental jabs, lop off penises and breasts. There, none of them are, it's like Alex Jones said, these are people masquerading as our allies, masquerading as I don't want to say Democrats, people who believe in democracies. They're not any of those things. These people are absolutely no different. And you, again, with the arrest in the UK for speech violations in comparison to Russia, how are they any different than Russia? If anything, they're worse than Russia. At least Russia wants an Orthodox church in their country. These people are completely anti-Christianity. But anyway, so that's their response. 40% tariff on them. We're answering back with a 20% tariff. And she's crying about it as if there's nothing else for her to do. Again, it's very much the same as somebody comes and punches you in the face and you return fire and punch them in the face. And then you're crying about being punched in the face. How does this make any sense? I don't even know how to describe it any better than that. I wish I did. Maybe some of you do and you can throw it in the chat. I'm serious because I have no other way to describe it because it's absolutely asinine. It makes no sense at all. It's indescribable. I don't get it. You guys got anything? Let me know. Because I honestly, how in the world could you be tariffing somebody else and then when they tariff you back, you're offended by it?
All right.
I just don't get it. All right, let's go to the next one. Wherever I'm at, Will. There, yeah, Telegraph. So here it is. So keep in mind the previous one, EU is preparing significant action against Elon Musk's ex for disinformation with a $1 billion fine. Look at the Telegraph. No free trade with U.S. without free speech, Starmer warned. Yeah, you need to be concerned, Great Britain. You need to be concerned, England, because you depend far more on us than we depend on you. You, for all intents and purposes, don't have a military either. PM's hopes of avoiding Donald Trump's tariffs may hinge on case of pro-life activists arrested for peaceful protest. Donald Trump has basically leveraged free speech for trade. If you're not going to allow free speech, I mean, imagine this. Imagine us even having to have this argument with members of the European Union. I know England's not anymore with Brexit, but they would be. But anyway, so imagine us actually having to have this argument with democracies, that we're not going to trade with you unless there's free speech. I thought you were a democracy. You wanted to send all of these hundreds of billions, like Ursula von der Leyen wants to send $800 billion to the Ukraine to fight in this war over the next couple of years. And you, because you're fighting for democracy, even though Ukraine's not a democracy, you're like, Tom, none of it makes any sense. It's all lies. It's all basically to get to Revelation 13 and 14, just so you know. That's really what it's all about, whether these people know they're doing it or not. Mark of the Beast is what I'm talking about. That's really what it's all about, a one world NWO system. So Donald Trump is leveraging free speech. And imagine just getting to the place where you have to leverage free speech with alleged democracies. How are you a democracy without free speech? And it's always so funny because you see Tucker Carlson dismantle Piers Morgan, right? He absolutely dismantles them. Because he taught Piers Morgan's like, I have free speech. How do you have free speech when people are being arrested for speaking? Well, there's some things people should, okay, if there's some things people shouldn't say, then you don't have what?
Free speech.
There you go. If there's some things, listen, there's all kinds of things that people shouldn't say, but there's nothing anybody can't say.
Yeah.
That's the way that it is. And again, if you cross into the defamation line where you're preventing somebody from making a living because of your statements, then you can be sued for defamation. But even that's not criminal. You don't get arrested for it. So I love what Trump is doing with this. All right, look, next. Let's go to the next one. Seeing is believing video. The UK turned upside down. Here's what's actually happening, which is why you're seeing Keir Starmer warning. Even though Keir Starmer, he is the ultimate effeminate man chameleon. He'll say one thing one day, one thing the next, so he's hoping in some way, shape, or form things go his way. But again, these people who are in their 50s, in their 60s, in their 70s, I guess they forget that everything is being videotaped. And even that's an outdated statement that I just made, because nothing's being videotaped. It's just simply being, what would you call it?
Recorded.
Recorded, right? I mean, everything's being video recorded. So everything you say, everybody's playing back 1,000 times. So when you go to the Oval Office and you lick Trump's boots, and then you go back and kick him in the teeth in the UK, we're all going to know about it, Keir. And then strike one that your name is Keir. But anyway, so Keir Starmer's warning everybody because he's like, I know I'm screwed if we can't trade with the United States. Everyone likes to talk a big game. That's why you saw Dougie Ford and Mark Carney from Canada, which, of course, Canada's affiliated with the UK. They all turned tail and ran. They all turned tail and ran because they know Trump will actually do what he says, not like any other politician. That's why he's the greatest president in the history of the United States of America. And that doesn't mean I always agree with him. And I'll point out when I don't. But he's still the greatest. Like, I still love Rand Paul. But he's absolutely ridiculous on tariffs. But he's the greatest president in the history of the United States because he, you know, I'm not at all trying to put myself, you know, elevated to the popularity of Donald Trump or anything like that. But here's the thing with me. When I pastor this church that I'm sitting in right now, I won't compromise anything to keep my job. Not one thing. I will not. If someone comes up, well, just leave that part out and we'll keep coming to your church. I don't care. I'm not leaving any part out of the Bible. See, Donald Trump is that way in the world. He's like, no, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And that's it. And they all know it. So they're all turning tail and run. So Keir Starmer's warning everybody, listen, we're going to have to back off on arresting people praying in front of abortion clinics who don't even do anything, just simply pray. One guy's in prison right now for silently praying in front of an abortion clinic.
Yeah.
Within 500 feet, wasn't even in front of the abortion clinic. He was within 500 feet of it, silently praying. He's in prison. All right, so here's what's going on in the UK, and this is why Keir Starmer's concerned. Seeing his believing video, the UK turned upside down. Play for me.
Fella called Adam Smith Connor, who was criminally convicted for praying outside an abortion clinic. It's cost him thousands in legal fees and probably will bankrupt him. And he's been criminally convicted.
For praying?
For praying outside an abortion clinic. Technically, in parts of the country, it is illegal to pray. However, on October 8th, 2023, outside the Israel embassy in Kensington in London, swarms of people went to the embassy. They were not just celebrating. They were not just chanting Allah Akbar. They were on their knees, facing Mecca, praying thanks. Those people were not sentenced.
But the Christian guy who was praying...
Christian guy praying inside his head, he has been criminally convicted. This is two-tier system. Richard Williams in Wales, sentenced to 3 months in prison for a derogatory Facebook post. In 2021, an entourage of cars driving around London, shouting, F the Jews, F their mothers, rape their daughters, on megaphones going around the Jewish part of North London. Nothing. No.
See, even that, with this guy who's obviously a conservative activist, he says, he even acknowledges and almost acknowledges it, Oh, thanks, Tony Nuthead, $25 in the rant. Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. Thank you. John Lipley, Chuck Norris, 2029. Love you. Appreciate you. But anyway, even that conservative commentator, he says, well, you know, parts of the country it is illegal to pray. Almost accepting that this guy did pray in an area that it was illegal to pray. Imagine being somebody who claims to be an advocate for democracy, claiming that you're going to send $800 billion to go fight for democracy in Ukraine. Ukraine's not a democracy. And you have places in your country that it's illegal to pray. And you claim to be a democracy. How are you a democracy when you don't have any of the tenets of a democracy? That's what's happened. That's what causes the inverted world. When you see the word democracy now, it means a totalitarian regime. So even that, he gave way. And you saw it. I don't know how much I'm going to get to it tonight, but we're going to have to be watching this whole Muslim thing that's going on. Muslims are taking over the state of Texas. You're like, how could it happen in conservative Texas? Because Texas is a giant facade. I don't have time to get into it right now. It's a giant facade where you have Republicans who basically the entire population is Republicans, and they elect fake Republicans every single time, and they are running Texas into the ground. You have a city being built in Texas, about to be built, called Epic in Texas. It's going to be fully run by Sharia law. How's that even? That's not constitutional. You're allowed to practice your religion, but not in violation of the Constitution. That's the freedom of religion if you don't violate the Constitution. Sharia is in and of itself an abject violation of the Constitution. If I have time to get into that later, I will. All right, I got to play that one first. So before I get into Trump, what Trump's happening, just one final time, I just want to send this out to Ursula von der Leyen. Play it for me.
President of the EU. Not a scary organization at all. I've always loved the European Union. Haven't you? Just the precursor to one world government. It's awesome. And to hear the president of the EU explaining how you in Europe can get your life back to normal in that German accent she has, that just sounds so soothing to me. Here's what she says is important to get your life back here. Here she comes.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you? Good to see you.
Before Easter, we promised to the Europeans that we will do everything possible so that they can gain back some normality when planning for their well-deserved summer holidays. So on Monday, the European Parliament and the European Council signed the regulation for the EU Digital COVID Certificate. Oh, it is applicable from the 1st of July on. But if you want to, as a member state, you can sign up early, voluntarily. And that's what Belgium did.
Belgium did it.
As of today, travel with a certificate. Mm-hmm. And they issue
travel
these
with their certificate.
And here is mine. So everyone who is fully vaccinated or tested negative or has recovered from COVID can get one. Mm-hmm. And we have right now 15 member states that have already signed up. And from the 1st of July, all 27 member states have to apply these EU digital certificates for the COVID. Mm-hmm. I am planning now to start my tour through 27 member states for the Next Generation EU, our Recovery and Resilience Plan. And I'm very curious to test and to see how this certificate will work. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
All right.
That's great.
She held hers up. Can I just take a picture of that? And can I use hers?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes. That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. So essentially what she's saying is you must have your papers. They'll be digital, but you must have some. The other ways of making you have your papers. Please.
I shouldn't have watched that because I started laughing and made me cough. There we go. And Will's going to start coughing now too. So there it is. Yep. Will's going. I've been ripping Will for weeks for his habitual coughing. Now I'm coughing. But anyway, just had to throw that in there because my favorite video of all time. Aaron enhanced it with the Russian music. That's Aaron's own personal enhancements. But anyway, bottom line is, just if you ever want to know, keep this video. Because it has that video in it, That's the goal of the whole world, is to get it to a place where you and I can't buy, sell, trade, or travel without a QR code mark on our foreheads or on our right hands. That's start on your devices, but eventually it goes that way. All right, so Trump, now, are things really going bad? Well, the stock market's down. The stock market doesn't matter. I mean, it's actually a small part of our economy. It's a potential thermostat of the economy. That's really it. It's semi important. And I have money invested in the stock market. I'm just saying, it's just one indicator. Yeah. So the stock market, of course, goes down. But who runs the stock market? Globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist. So they want it to go down. They'll sabotage themselves to make Trump look bad. Because what they really don't want is there to be an economy outside of stock market. Is it what the left used to be about? Remember they used to say, we're for Main Street, not Wall Street, until they became about Wall Street?
Yeah.
That we are now about Main Street, because there's a whole separate economy that exists outside of Wall Street, New York. So, next video, Libs of TikTok video. General Motors has announced it will increase hiring. So I thought there's going to be this big drop-off. I'm telling you right now, there might be, but I'm sensing there. Alex Jones puts it at 60-40, that we won't have any serious consequences. I put it about the same. Maybe 70-30 that we won't. Play for me, Will.
We were waiting to confirm this directly with General Motors, and now we have. And you tell me if this is already a sign that things are happening in President Trump's favor. A General Motors spokesperson is now confirming there was a webcast to employees a short time ago. GM will be making operational adjustments at its Fort Wayne assembly, including hiring temporary employees to support current manufacturing and business needs. We continuously update and revise production schedules as part of our standard process of evaluating and aligning to manage vehicle inventory. This after initially Reuters was reporting on that webcast that they're going to be adding overtime hours for their employees, and they're going to be bringing some of that. They're going to be increasing the production of their light duty trucks at that American.
Fabulous.
So are we going to have, I mean, Trump has brought in so much money into this country. I can't remember what it is. It's somewhere at the trillion plus mark, how much he's already brought in. In guarantees, investments, like it's whether it's OpenAI, whether it's chip manufacturer out of Taiwan, whether it's $500 billion from Apple. So, I mean, and there's much more than that. I have Aaron looking for a list right now, but if he finds it, I'll put it up. But there's so much that Trump has already brought in. I don't know if we're going to have any dip in the economy. Plus, just listen, we have the lunatic left. They don't work anyway. None of these people that Trump has fired out of D.C., that's it right there, and leave that up. None of the people that Trump fired out of D.C. showed up to work anyway. They weren't there. Remember, 6% of the federal workforce in D.C. showed up for work every day. 6%. So here's what's come in. $15 billion for Nippon Steel. Excuse me. $20 billion for Hossein Sawani. $600 billion from Saudi Arabia. $100 billion from TMSC, SoftBank, $200 billion, OpenAI and Oracle, $500 billion, Apple, $500 billion, Taiwan Semiconductor, $165 billion. So we're right up there near or above, because, yeah, there's $500 billion there. We're at almost $2 billion, $2 trillion that Trump's brought in.
Yeah.
So are we going to even have a dip? There's so much. Again, the lunatic left, the 30% of this country, absolute lunatic left, that lives under the shelter of our wing. They really do. Because we are the ones that protect them. You got Will fighting wars for them. You had me in law enforcement. We keep them safe. We let them be lunatics. They live under the shelter of our wing. And then of course, question our wing. But nothing we can do about any of those people. 70% of this country or more are full of energy about what Trump's doing. Full of it. Full of energy. Excited about what Trump is doing. They really are. They're like, there's so much hope and so much invigoration going on right now that I don't know if we're going to have any dip in the economy at all. As a matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and state it. I don't think we are. That's where I stand. All right, let's go to this one. Laura Loomer tweet. Change the subjects now. So Laura Loomer met with the president today. And right after she met with the president, he fired three people. Now, President Trump said from Air Force One that he didn't fire anybody at her request, and that the meeting had nothing to do with firing people, but hiring people. He did fire three, which I'll get to in just a second. But this is what Laura Loomer's all and about doing. Does it mean I agree with everything Laura Loomer does? No, I don't agree with anything everybody says. Some of my favorite preachers in the world are Rodney R. Brown, Jonathan Shuttlesworth, Andrew Womack, Kenneth Hagin. I mean, I agree with every last thing they say. They're just my favorites. So, but Laura Loomer's great. She's a great investigative journalist. And by the way, she's like Alex Jones and is rarely ever wrong. May not like some of her tactics, but she's never wrong. She really isn't. I like most of her tactics anyway. So she is, this is the greatest nightmare for the deep state, is to be Loomered. She is diving into records and finding out who is actually a Trump loyalist. Well, this isn't about loyalty. It's about government service. No, no, no. An administration is solely about loyalty.
Yep.
Solely. And listen, if you are working at a police department, and that police department's always going to be there, there's different police chiefs all the time, whatever else, okay, and it's actually run by the city, it's got nothing to do. The city hires the police chief. Okay, you can have a measure of disloyalty towards that police chief. But a president's own administration, where he hires all the people that work for him, then you know what? You have to have loyalty, period. I'm not saying blind loyalty. I'm saying you have to have loyalty. And Loomer's on and about right now exposing people who are disloyal. At Marco Rubio, who could be disloyal in himself, we're going to have to watch him like a hawk. Can you please issue a statement about Katrina Votavat's despicable anti-American behavior today? She should be fired from State Department for honoring Islamist color revolution chaos agents today. She is a Biden holdover. None of these people should be working for Donald Trump. It's what sabotage is what caused us to have to be in lawfare for over 2 years of his first four. She is a Biden holdover who has donated $7,200 to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Shouldn't be working for Trump. Should not be working. All these people need to be found and fired. You're like, well, Tom, somebody has to work. Oh, well, let's ask this question. Can we ask this question? Why do these people all have to have, why do these positions have to be filled? What do they ever do? What does this woman do every day? That's why I loved Elon Musk's questionnaire to all the people at USAID and others. Name five things that you've actually accomplished. What do these people actually do all day? Go to the next one for me. Another Laura Loomer tweet. Why is Biden holdover Adam Scheffler still working for the U.S. Attorney's Office under the new Trump administration? He is a Trump hater. Why is he still there? Who has been working at the U.S. Attorney's Office since 2021. Fire him. He supported the impeachment of President Trump and now works for President Trump. And said he wanted to repeal Trump's tax plan. Everyone think of this. If you had somebody, if you're a business owner, and you had somebody that trashed you all around town and spoke out against your business, said that your business was corrupt, would you hire that person to work for you? This person needs to be fired yesterday. And I'm not, listen, Trump has done so much. There's no, I think we're 73 days in now. He's done so much in 73 days. I'm not going to complain about anything. but these people are the ones you really have to watch out for. And these are the people who will sabotage your signal meetings. And these are nasty, corrupt, perjurious liars. And you need to find them, as Loomer's doing, and get rid of them immediately. If that means a position goes unfilled, fine. It doesn't matter anyway. They don't do anything. Go to the next one for me. Now, here's the Gateway Pundit tweet. Just in, President Trump fires at least three neocon national security staffers after Laura Loomer Oval Office meeting. Loomer response. So here's a little article from the Gateway Pundit. Remember, all of these people, I want you to remember this acronym, are NSC members. This is National Security Council members. Who impeached Donald Trump the first impeachment? Alexander Vindman, all of them are from the National Security Council. So you don't leave people on. Just imagine this. For 4 years in the last Trump administration, Alexander Vindman sat as part of that administration. He was part of that administration for 4 years, just fermenting back there till he had his opportunity to try to destroy the Trump administration via faux impeachment. And many others, the Victoria Nulands of the world. And there were many others there too. What's her name? Marie Yovanovitch, the ambassador to Ukraine. These are Trump-hating people, but Trump was like, I can turn them once I get enough. They'll never turn.
No.
They'll never turn, because why won't they turn? 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The only thing that our country is about right now, until Trump changes it, is our government using our taxpayer dollars to enrich themselves as people, not enriching the government, enriching themselves and mainly Democrats, with a few, like Elon Musk says, they throw a few scraps to the Republicans so Republicans will keep their mouths shut. That's all our country's about right now. And that's why people like this need to be destroyed. They need to destroy Donald Trump because they're going to be broke. They're going to be broke if they don't. That's the point of it all. But you have NSC members, National Security Council members. And listen, there's, you know, when you go back to the Mike Waltz signal call and his assistant Chong. Okay, these are people. Listen, Waltz himself is questionable. Mm-hmm. I mean, very questionable. Saying he doesn't know Jeffrey Goldberg. Then we have a picture of him with Jeffrey Goldberg at Jeffrey Goldberg's town hall meeting. His event, Jeffrey Goldberg's event. And Jeffrey Goldberg's on his phone. Who doesn't know the people on their phone?
Yeah.
You had to have typed that contact in. So do I trust Waltz? No, not at all. And I especially don't trust his assistant, the deputy NSA, deputy national security advisor, Chong. Because who did he work for as an executive assistant? I just forgot his name, but crap, what was it? Governor out of Arkansas.
Oh, crap.
Not Tommy Tuberville. Oh, gosh. Can't believe
I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
Okay. Everyone sent it to me in the chat. Who did Chong work for before? Send it to me in the chat. Dang it. I can't believe I forgot his name. I got Tommy Tuberville stuck in my head, so now I can't remember his name.
I hate that.
Dang it. I'm not moving on until I get it. Somebody send it to me. Somebody send me that name. What? Gosh, dog it.
Well, Wong worked for Romney.
No,
and
then, the senator. Somebody send it to me in the chat. Come on.
Tom Cotton,
because I had Tommy Tuberville stuck in my head. All right, Tom, he used to work for Tom Cotton. What does Tom Cotton want to do? Tom Cotton wanted to be the Secretary of Defense. So, and then, remember now, after this whole signal, the whole signal gate thing happened, Alex Wong. It's Alex Wong, not Chong. Sorry. Alex Wong. So Alex Wong used to work, got all the names wrong. Alex Wong used to work for Tom Cotton. Tom Cotton wants to be Secretary of Defense. And who did they go after Signalgate? They didn't go after Mike Waltz. It's almost as if Mike Waltz knew that he was insulated. Because Tom Cotton wants Pete Hegseth's job.
Yeah.
And as from day one, it's funny that his former executive assistant Alex Wong works now for Mike Waltz, and Alex Wong and Mike Waltz are the ones who set up the signal chat that ended up sabotaging Pete Hegseth. It's kind of weird, isn't it? These people need to be looked into. They all need to be looked into. All right, from the Gateway Pundit, the three members of the National Security Council that were fired by Trump today. Brian Walsh, a director for intelligence and a former lead staffer for now Secretary of State Marco Rubio on Senate Intelligence Committee. Now, Marco Rubio received confirmation from every Democrat in the Senate.
Yeah.
So can Marco Rubio be trusted? Absolutely not. If he shows over time that he can be, great. I hope he does. But he cannot be trusted. Brian Walsh used to work for him. Thomas Boudry, a senior director for legislative affairs, who formerly served as NSA director, Mike Waltz's legislative director in Congress. So Thomas Boudry, a senior, listen to the title, a senior director for legislative affairs. What does it even freaking mean? And what do you do all day? As the senior director for legislative affairs, what do you do all day? That's why it's so easy to fire these people. What do you do? He formerly served as NSA director, Mike Waltz's legislative director in Congress. What is that? David Feith, a senior director overseeing technology and national security. He previously served in the State Department during Trump's first administration. Senior director overseeing technology and national security. What does that mean? CNN reports that it's unclear whether Wong, it's Alex, right?
Yeah.
Alex Wong?
Yep.
Was also let go. Axios says up to 10 members of the NSC staff may have been fired. He should fire everybody in the NSC staff that was here prior to his administration.
Yeah.
I don't care if it goes from 30 people to 2 people. You don't need them all anyway. It's a whole bunch of people just sucking off the teat of the taxpayer and don't actually even show up to work anyway. All right, let's have some fun now. Gunther Eagleman video. So let's go Tim Walz versus Elon Musk. That's what we're going to do here. Tim Walz, a man who helped cost Kamala Harris the election, calls Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, a loser. Play it for me.
It's Joy from that.
Are you a creep and a jerk?
Well, that's a badge of honor if he thinks I am. Look, it's not personal with him. Oh, it's a little bit personal. I don't want to be disingenuous. The guy does bother me. It's a little bit personal. But look, my beef on this is that this guy is out there crying about his portfolio and about stock while I'm making, you know, a comment. And my mom's Social Security check this month is late. That he's attacking the portfolios of working Minnesotans and working Americans who've paid into these programs that he calls a Ponzi scheme. He's taking it and laughing with his chainsaw about destroying the lives and undermining things and institutions that make life better for Minnesotans. Of course he doesn't care about these agencies because he has all this money. Can you imagine being the richest man in the world and taking offense that I said something about Tesla stock? Look, if I'm Donald Trump won Wisconsin. I'll give him that. But he's sharing his presidency and the White House and who knows what else with this guy who's a loser. He lost. This guy's really bad at this. He made the case that everything hinged on this. And I just want to give a shout out to the folks in Wisconsin, to Ben Wickler, to, of course, Justice-elect Crawford.
Okay, so if Elon Musk is a loser, and the reason why he's calling the richest man on earth, who's worth about $400 billion, if he's a loser, then what is Tim Walz? And the reason why he's calling him a loser is because Elon obviously was supporting Brad Schimmel in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and Schimmel lost. So if he's a loser because he lost the political race, what does that make Tim Walz? Who just got, imagine this. Imagine somebody calling somebody else a loser who lost all 7 swing states.
Yeah.
I mean, the blue wall absolutely dismantled under Tampon Tim. Tampon Timmy managed to do what's never been done before outside of Reagan. All swing states gone. Absolutely gone. And the only reason why Reagan didn't win all of his states because he let Dukakis, was it Dukakis? No, Mondale. Carter the first time, Mondale the second time. Mondale win his home state. He purposely sabotaged his own campaign so Mondale could win his home state because he felt bad for him.
Oh my gosh.
He felt bad for him. So he doesn't let him win his home state. We won't.
Just go for
it. Since Reagan, nobody has won all 7 swing states. You're calling Elon Musk a loser because he entered into a SCOTUS race late, threw $14 million out of his $400 billion. Remember, each billion is 1,000 millions. And he threw $14 million at the race, and he's a loser who's worth $400 million? Aaron, back me up if I miss one.
Okay.
Who has created PayPal.
Yep.
SpaceX.
Yep.
Tesla.
Yep.
Well, what else? Anything else?
So at least the Boring Company.
What was it? Yeah, because there's more. I know there's more.
The Boring Company that does tunnels, tunnels.
Oh, that's right, because Elon discovered where all those files have been stored too, and this happened to correlate with him being, because all those different government hiring and firing forms were all being kept underground in an abandoned mine.
Yeah.
Kind of when I found out he was part of a mining or a tunneling company. So I mean, and again, there's more, I'm sure, that we're not thinking of, but allegedly he's a loser. Now here's the things that I want checked on. Tim Walz said that his mom's Social Security check was late. First thing Aaron said was that's a lie. So that's very easily tracked. Again, these people. And Tim Walz is probably my age, 5 years older, same, whatever. I don't know how old he is. A couple years older. Does he not realize that the checks are digitized? Does he not realize that? That they're direct deposited? And even if they aren't, there's a track, there's tracking from where it's sent out from the government to when it goes to somebody else, and I can almost guarantee you that we're not sending out hundreds of millions of checks every day out of Social Security, that they're digitized. So this is going to be, Elon Musk, I hope he does it, and this may seem trivial to him, but he seems a little vengeful, so I'm hoping he'll do it. Do you need to track and see if Tim Walz's mom's check was late and roast him?
Yeah,
publicly with the information showing that it's not. So Stolen Valor Tim gets caught lying again. He's on Bagram Air Force Base on the tarmac watching American bodies be loaded up. He's never spent one day in Afghanistan his entire life, but he said that. Said he served in combat in Iraq. He lied. Stolen Valor, disgusting tampon Tim. So we need to find that out. He said that Elon Musk was attacking American portfolios. Show us that. How is Elon Musk attacking American Social Security portfolios? And Democrats, how do you just buy into this? And then he said, how dare Elon Musk call Social Security a Ponzi scheme? What's the definition of a Ponzi scheme? Definition of a Ponzi scheme is that investors pay prior investors and there's no money actually in the account. So you get new investors to pay off the dividends of old investors. That's a Ponzi scheme. If you look at Bernie Madoff, what he did the entire time was collect, he'd have, let's just say he had thousands of accounts. He had 1,000 accounts. And he had to send out $1 million a month, just making it very simplistic, it was billions. He had to send out $1 million a month in dividends off of money he said that he was investing, right? And that's what was supposed to be having Social Security.
Yep.
But there was no money that was being invested because he himself was spending it all on himself. So what did he have to do to actually pay these dividends that didn't exist because there's actually no money invested? He would take the new money from new investors and pay the dividends. So the account was actually always empty except if there was new money coming in. That is the definition of a Ponzi scheme. Is there any money in the Social Security account? No. How does it get paid? Aaron's paycheck, Will's paycheck, my paycheck, your paycheck. There's no money in there. Yeah. Zero. Goes bankrupt in 10 years. That's a fact. 2035, it's bankrupt. That is the very definition of a Ponzi scheme. And Tampon Tim is too stupid to realize how asinine his comments are. So it's like, how do you get to this place? So you're saying that Elon Musk is attacking American Social Security portfolios with no evidence at all. Who would believe that? I'm going to show you the person who would believe it. Play for me, Will.
I think throwing a Molotov cocktail at a Tesla, burning the battery, hurts the environment.
I don't think that that has done that much damage to the environment compared to what the Trump administration is doing to the environment. That is minuscule.
What do you think is the worst thing Elon Musk and his Doge team has done so far?
We don't really know what they've done in there. So I think that that's very dangerous that they're, you know, using their technological, all the technical stuff that they're doing, computerized with computers and with the agencies.
So why are you attacking Elon Musk? We don't like what he's doing. What is he doing? We don't know. How do you describe that? What do you just say? You're a ridiculous human being. You're an asinine idiot. What do you say to people like this? We don't like what Elon Musk is doing. What is he doing? We don't know. What's the worst anything that he's done? We don't know. Then why are you out here with a sign in your hand?
Right.
And Aaron came up. Here's the cumulative list of loser Elon Musk, according to Tampon Tim Walz. Loser Elon Musk has created SpaceX, Tesla, X Corp, Neuralink, the Boring Company, XAI, Zip2, PayPal, OpenAI, and SolarCity.
What a loser.
What a loser he is. What a loser. This is my little opposition part of the show. Just show you how ridiculous our opposition is, how ridiculous our political enemies are. All right, so next one. Am I at Johnny Midnight?
Yes, sir.
All right, Johnny Midnight video. Media is always lying. This is how you deal with a media who's lying to your face. Right here, Scott Walker. Play for me.
He spent $20 million on affiliated groups that were involved in this race. Is it a risk for Republicans to put all their eggs in that basket? Not only did he spend the money, he came to the state.
Right.
He came to the state. He talked about cutting Medicaid, Social Security through DOGE, bringing those issues up.
Actually, he explicitly said in Green Bay that he would not cut Social Security.
Well,
That's exactly what he talked
at his rallies.
No, other people said about that, but I was there. I watched him. Okay. He did not say he was going to cut Medicaid.
Other people at his rallies who work for DOGE, who work for Elon Musk's organization, talked about those issues.
No, I was at the rally. Not a one of them said that. That's what protesters said, but nobody there actually said that.
Do you think that there are risks here?
There are. People believe the lies that people are saying about that. But that's not at all what they said. If people believe that Medicaid and Medicare is going to be touched, that's just a flat, outright lie. What he talked about are people who are over 120 years old, who clearly are not alive.
Well, the reason I brought it up is
getting Social Security or Medicaid.
Okay, well.
So Abby Phillips, she actually claims that Elon Musk said from the stage that he was going to cut Medicaid. It was never said. And then when Scott Walker says to her, I was actually there and it was never said, Abby. Then she has to go, well, that's always bad. Whenever I'm counseling people about their lives and they start off with, well, they're screwed. Other that means they're absolutely noncommittal. You're never going to change. No matter what I tell you, you're not going to change because you start every sentence with well. So she actually says, well, other people who work for Doge said that he said that. Oh, really? How do we verify these sources that work for Doge? Well, they usually say are their various unnamed sources, which is simply they get a janitor in the room and they go to that janitor in the room. They say, hey, listen, Bob, just tell me right now, Elon Musk wants to cut Medicare and Medicaid. Okay, Miss Abby, Elon Musk wants to cut Medicare and Medicaid. Sources have told me that Elon Musk, that's all that they do. But he was actually, that's what you do to these people. She's a bold-faced liar. She knows she's a disgusting, repulsive human being. And you just go ahead and call them out. Speaking of that, sticking kind of with Elon right now. Yeah, Andy, no video. Here's some leftist protesters shut down access to the desolate store in Manhattan by laying on the ground outside on March 29th. They held up signs urging for Elon Musk to be shot and for Tesla property to be firebombed. Play for me. So I just wanted to show you who is our opposition. This is our opposition. These are people that are being paid about $200 to show up at this quote-unquote anti-Tesla rally. But this is our opposition. We are not dealing with Albert Einstein's here. We're not dealing with Elon Musk's here. We're not dealing with Tesla's here. We're dealing with absolute idiots right here. Let me show you some more. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene video. Elon and Tesla protesters. Dancing reminds me of the nurses and doctors doing dances while they try to convince everyone to take the clot shot. Play for me. So this is the tactic of the left. This is our opposition. This is our competition right here. We should never lose an election. The only reason why we lose an election is because Republicans aren't dealing with election fraud in their own states. They don't have the courage to do so. Because if they say it's election fraud, they'll be called conspiracy theorists. They'll be called a threat to democracy. They'll be challenged with how dare you challenge the integrity of our elections. And then, of course, the Democrats challenge every election that they lose. And there's none of those ramifications for them. So this is the tactic of the left. So let's look at this one. Liz Churchill video. Communists think they'll change people's minds about Tesla, pandemics, and climate change by protest dancing. Let's look at all three. Play for me. I told you, these are not smart people. They're not. It's basically the same thing every time. Same tactics every time. There's nothing new under the sun. You do the exact same things. They actually think that's going to be effective. All right, let's look at this. Alex video. Democrats are now telling people to burn electric vehicles to save democracy. Play for me. Now, Aaron, if you could roll it back to the very beginning of that and freeze it where you got the sign there. Now, where have you ever seen, you don't have to get that perfectly, that's fine. Where have you ever seen a Republican ever do this? And we're allegedly the violent ones. They're always claiming that we are the violent ones. The violent party who claims that we're committing a trans genocide, that we've never killed one trans person. You can't even find a video of a white guy verbally assaulting a trans guy or a trans girl anywhere. But yet they do this, burn Tesla, save democracy, with flames on there, as Teslas are burning, as they're being firebombed. And what's the Democratic Party response? If they were so virtuous, where's Bernie Sanders? Where's Bernie Sanders' outcry about the violence? Outcry about the violence in his own party? I mean, I'm just curious. Where's Chuck Schumer's and Nancy Pelosi's? Where's Kamala Harris's? I mean, where's Gavin Newsom's? Gavin Newsom's now trying to dial it back, trying to become a moderate Democrat now with his podcast. Where's the outcry, Gavin? Where's the outcry against things like this? You always call us violent, even though we commit no acts of violence, because they're always projecting onto us that which they are. But I'm just wondering where the outcry of violence is. So I had to show you this one because this is fun. This will go back, Aaron. Aaron was kind of pining for the days of COVID. This came out at that time. So this is what, speaking of, I just cannot laugh. If I laugh, it makes me cough.
It's over.
When you guys laugh, it makes me cough. No laughing in the studio. But I had to go, I had to show you this just for fun because this is Ian Miles Chong video. Europeans, when a third world migrant Muslim is forcing himself on a young girl. This is actually true. Okay, I want you to know this is true. This was actually sent out to teach young girls and women in European countries what to say to a Muslim who tries to sexually assault you. Play it for me. I've got to stop playing these videos. I mean, can I look at my face? I'm barely. That was right here. And just let it play it and mute it. They actually think this is appropriate. This is our competition. Why do we? How do we ever lose an election? Because of corruption. That's it. I mean, this is actually. Please go ahead, unmute it. This is actually our competition. Right here. This is it. This is what dads send their daughters in Europe in the European Union about. Illegal Muslim migrant sexually assaulting your daughter. Stop. There. This is my no-no square. I got to show you this one thing. This was just a great, it's not even on topic necessarily, but it has to do with somewhat Ukraine, somewhat with the tariffs. But this is Eric Schmidt. And this was just a great, great dissertation. And it's a great summation of how I feel about the European Union. Play for me.
With few exceptions, Poland and the Baltic states, Europe is not acting like it's facing down a generational threat, not even close. And I'm getting tired of being asked to go home to Missouri and explain to working Americans, the people I represent, why they should send more money, more troops, more of their sons and daughters to defend a continent that refuses to defend itself. Why should we care more about Moscow than people in Paris, who are 2 hours away by plane? It doesn't make sense, and it's time to stop pretending that it does. For 80 years, we've told Europe to get serious about their own defense. They have blown us off. They haven't listened. Maybe they never will, as long as we keep doing the job for them. So yes, maybe we should have a conversation about the Supreme Allied Commander role. Maybe having an American general in that seat furthers this ruse. We should have the debate, not simply dismiss it. Let's have an honest conversation about it. American priorities in Europe, what they should be. Let's stop confusing symbolism with strategy. And while we're at it, maybe let's stop waving foreign flags on the House floor when Americans can barely afford groceries. Some of my colleagues seem to think that defending Ukraine more matters more than defending our own border. I disagree, and so do the American people. It's time to have a serious realignment. Let Europe grow up and carry its own weight. America's job is not to babysit the world. It's to protect our people and our interests. Full stop.
The only thing I want to say off of that video is this. We all know about the European defense obfuscation. They've spent nothing on their own defense. And the saddest thing about it is you and I end up paying for their defense. We get screwed in every way. We pay for their defense. They hate us. We pay exorbitant tariffs that they don't pay coming into the United States of America, and they still hate us. But this is the most poignant thing that Eric Schmidt said there. Europeans are not acting like they're facing down a generational threat. They're always talking about how Russia is going to run through the Ukraine and take over the rest of the European Union. Is that how they're acting? Okay, now get this now. The war started in what, 2022, right?
Yeah.
So that's over 3 years. Think about what you could have. Did they add anything to their defense budgets? No. Have they built jets? No. Have they built ships? No. Have they manufactured more weapons and artillery? More missiles? No. Have they enlarged their armies or navies? No. So how are they facing a generational threat? So that's why I'm saying the entire war in Ukraine is an absolute fraud. I know there's real people there, real people dying, but how it's being painted, just like COVID, is an absolute fraud. Got to show you this viral video. Tesla owner's Silicon Valley video, and my FAO is fooling around to find out. So FAO happened to a member in San Jose. This was just a very gratifying video because most of the time all we see is the initial crime, but we don't get to see the arrest. Here is crime all the way through arrest. Play it for me.
My Cybertruck was attacked by an Elon Musk hater in broad daylight.
That's my fucking car.
That's your car?
Yeah. What the hell is your friend's problem? You guys are fucking idiots.
So get this. These guys park right behind my truck, attack it, and leave. But that's so dumb because everyone knows the Tesla records everything. And not to mention, I was literally standing 15 feet away from my truck. Who would do this? What a dumbo. So I immediately assessed the damage, called 911, and secretly followed them to the place they were going.
White dude, pink hair. 40?
So it took about 10 minutes for the cops to arrive. They questioned me, so I showed them the videos.
It's gotta be an Elon Musk violation or something.
It is, yeah.
And they asked, do you know where he went? I said, yes. He and his friends went to the movie theater.
Got 5-0 out here. The boys went into the movie theater.
So we're gonna see what happens.
Turns out they were watching Death of a Unicorn, so the cops went in, paused the entire movie, and told the guy, you need to come with us.
Not so funny now, he's a big man.
The police asked if I wanted to press charges, and I said, absolutely. This is going to be a few $1,000s in damages for sure. And plus, Elon Musk haters need to be taught a lesson.
Look at these guys. They're the friends chilling there, waiting. I don't know why.
Most people get away with vandalism, but not this guy. We got him. Thanks, Elon.
Oh, wow. What's up, bro? This fucking guy.
Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I get it. Like, you see that guy kick your car, and you stand there and do nothing? I don't support that. I mean, because I and you and everybody else watching this show right now, 976 people that I can see, Will, Aaron, myself, we're not going to stand there. I don't care how big and buff the dude is. First of all, it didn't mean squat, just so you know. But anyway, guy sits there and starts pounding on your car. I wouldn't just stand there and go, hey, man, that's messed up. No, it's going down. It's going down now. I mean, that's just the way it is. But anyway, good. There was justice was done. And did that guy even sound the victim? Did he even sound like a Trump supporter? I mean, again, it's so asinine. You get out and you kick a car. You have no idea who owns it. That could be, you know, Kamala Harris's main fundraiser in L.A. or whatever, right. Wherever this is at. You know, so you're sitting there, you're kicking this car. You have no idea who it is. But that's our opposition. That's our competition. All right, 10:14. Love you guys. Hey, Chopper Supernut. I see you there at the end in the rant. Thank you so much. $5. There we go. Nate Dad won $50. Texas Billy, $50. B. Wethy. $10. Chopper Supernut, as I just said, $5. Thank you guys in the rant. Thank you guys in the chat. I love you guys. I really, really appreciate you. Thank you for sticking with me during this gravelly coffee time. I hate it. I hate not being 100%. But God will make me well very quickly. Amen. But anyway, love you. Appreciate you guys. Back here tomorrow night at... Oh, stick around for postgame. Forgot to say that last night. Stick around for postgame. It's awesome. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you guys.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.